Welcome back again for another live edition of Anime Talk. I'm glad you've joined us tonight. The opening song tonight was from Mysterious Girlfriend X. It was the ending song. It was recommended by Gios. Thank you very much. Let's get started for tonight. As always, I am your host, Joe Animated. You can find me at We Remember Love. And if you guys have a question, you can send me a message on Twitter, or you can tag it with Joe's Anime Talk, and we'll be sure to try to answer at the end. I've got two guests with me tonight, and let's go ahead and introduce them. Landon, why don't you start?
Hey, I'm Landon. I'm from that blog, MechaGwignil, that everybody hates. And, yeah, there we go. Let's get on with this.
All right. And then I have a new guest tonight. Flawfinder, go ahead.
What up? I'm Mr. Flawfinder of the anime blog Standing on My Neck.
Anything you want to say about yourself? It's your first time on the show. Anything you want to tell our viewers?
I am happy to be on the show, and if you don't know who I am, well, first of all, shame on you, and second of all, you will know soon enough.
All right, then. So let's get started. Let's go to our first question tonight. We'll make it kind of an easy one. What anime are you nostalgic for? Is there anything in particular? Maybe it's something that is more recent, something more past? Flawfinder, why don't you start?
Well, I'm nostalgic for the usual stuff like Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon, but the one I'm nostalgic for the most would be Digimon. Love that show to this day.
So what about it makes you so nostalgic for it?
For Digimon? Well, it was like one of the greatest kid shows ever. Back in my time, it had great, cool ideas. It dealt with some pretty adult issues, and even though the dub's kind of bad, it has this genuine charm to it.
All right. Landon, about you? Or you got something else? Sorry.
And I get basically back then, it was the coolest thing ever.
I think they still play Digimon stuff on the American CW channel, things like that. So probably can still pick up a few episodes here and there. Landon, what about you? What are you nostalgic for?
See, I would probably say it's Ranma Half, because back in the day, it was like that summer between high school and college, which was like 1996 for me, which is, you know, I'm old. Basically, a friend of a friend of mine brought over a bootleg tape of Ranma that he had recorded off of the local public access channel. And it had maybe the first half of the first season or something like that. And I made a copy of it, and I just watched that thing until the tape was pretty much broken. And so that was I'd already been a fan of anime for maybe a year or two. But that was really when it kicked in for me, was that summer and watching Ranma.
Okay, I can understand that. That's a pretty good choice there. I think for me, I didn't get really into watching anime until I was in college. So I grew up in the cartoons of the 80s. So things I watched were the He-Mans and the Transformers and stuff. But then when I got into college, we had Cartoon Network, and back in the early 2000s, I think was some of the best time for Cartoon Network because they had their afternoon Toonami slot, which was great, right? So I started watching Dragon Ball Z during the Cell Saga, which was I thought was one of the best arcs ever in Dragon Ball, my personal opinion. And they had Gundam Wing, which lots of people hate, but being the first Gundam I ever saw, I thought it was pretty nifty. And then one of my roommates.
It's no worse than any other Gundam.
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it. But then one of my roommates suggested we watch Akira. And for me, that was great. First time I'd seen it, I thought it was awesome. And I can still go back and watch that and just feel, I don't know, watching that show for the first time was definitely awesome. I would definitely, I guess I'm nostalgic for that same feeling I had watching that all over again. It's a great show. So I don't know, is there anything, I guess for you guys then, what, Glandon mentioned he had a friend bring over a tape of something. What about you, Flawfinder? What was your introduction to maybe your nostalgic anime? Was it somebody brought a tape over? Did you see it in a movie rental?
The first time I fully got into anime was when I happened to see Detective Conan on Cartoon Network, and it was called Case Closed at the time. I was I got a little interested in it, which is the premise of a high school kid shrunk into a kid detective. So when I saw it, I bought some DVDs, and then I learned that you could watch it online back in the YouTube era, and I just caught on from there.
I gotcha. So let's move on to our next topic. That's a good warm-up one. So what was the first, we talked about nostalgic anime, but what was the first anime you watched? And what did you like about it, and do you actually still enjoy watching that first anime? Landon, what about you?
You were talking about Akira, and I wanted Akira to be my first anime. Because, like, I had read about it in comic book magazines and all that stuff, like, in the early 90s. And it took me, like, really a couple of years to try to find a copy of it. And I finally found a copy of it at Blockbuster, and it was rented out when I finally found it. And so I still wanted to watch an anime, so I ended up renting Project Eiko instead. And that was the first one that I watched. And I didn't realize at the time that was meant to be like a parody of anime. It was a comedy, but I took it straight. I thought that was what anime was supposed to be like. And that's probably colored my opinion of anime until, you know, now.
Okay.
And I still like it. I mean, I've rewatched it probably in the recent, like maybe last year or so. And now I can actually see, you know, where all those references and everything come from. And yeah, I still like it. I think it's still pretty cool. I mean, I rank it in my top 5 of all time, but yeah, there you go.
Cool. What about you, Flawfinder?
The first anime I saw, I think it was Dragon Ball Z, when some people I knew brought it over and watched it, and I saw it too. I was never a big Dragon Ball Z fan, to tell you the truth, so I don't really keep up with that series. I can't keep up more with Pokemon and Digimon, which I saw later. But I still do have some fond memories. Is a Dragon Ball Z, and if anyone wants to show it to me, I won't say no, because it does have its charms to it.
Gotcha. See, yeah, like I said, for me, my introduction was the Toonami era, so I got introduced to some of those early Toonami series that were on in the afternoon. And honestly, I don't watch any DBZ anymore. I tried watching DBZ Kai, just couldn't do it. I did watch more of the Adult Swim stuff that Cartoon Network had on later on, like 2002, 2004, where they had Cowboy Bebop and Outlaw Star, things like that. I will go back and watch those, and those were great. But I guess the first anime I watched, I haven't gotten any reason back, and I guess I don't really enjoy it anymore. It's not really my thing. So then we talked about the first anime you watched. What was the first anime then that just made you go, wow? Like, they really got you hooked into watching it. Or watching anime as a genre, not just as a show or something on, you know, something that's on in the afternoon.
Yeah, like I was talking about, it was Ranma for me. That was the first series that I ended up watching the whole way through. And so, yeah, that's like the first love or whatever you want to say when it comes to the stuff.
Gotcha. So that wasn't just your hook. It was also your first, but also your hook as well.
Yeah, that was the thing that made me a fan rather than just somebody that just happens to watch it.
I gotcha. What about you, Flawfinder? What was the anime that hooked you? Finally, you know, you may have watched one or two, but what was the one that finally just brought you in? Was it Digimon as well, or something else?
This is going to be a bit sad. It was called Nod. I was watching a few series, and then I was like, yeah, okay. Then I saw Clannad, and yeah, that was the series that, like, hooked me into anime right away.
Okay.
I'm going to have to walk away from this podcast.
Well, yeah. I have to say, I've never seen Clannad, so I can't make any general comments about it, but... I know, Landon, that there's somebody in our audience that's already questioning your taste, so you'll have to take it up with him later anyway. But
I'm above such things.
I've seen your comments.
I know. Too bad we weren't... I'm trying to think what got me really hooked. It probably was watching, like... I'm trying to think. But I think Cowboy Bebop definitely would have been my hook. Or maybe, actually, it probably would have been Ghost in the Shell. I think. Because I'm, you know, I think I've said this before, I'm an engineer, I'm a real techie, whizzy kind of guy. And so watching, you know, the whole wizard, the technology behind, you know, virtualizing your soul almost and being able to transplant it between bodies or put it into the network, you know, was a hook that I just couldn't step away from. I think I've rewatched Ghost in the Shell a number of times, and no matter what, it still entertains me. It definitely was that hook. And since then, I've expanded, you know, from people like you that have given me suggestions, expanded my watch list beyond that. But it's been, like, there's some things, like, I'm watching Utena right now. Just if somebody showed me a picture of this and said, you'd probably enjoy this, I, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said no. Not a chance. You know, graphic design's not there. It's about a girl. Honestly, the main character's a female, which, not to be misogynist about things, but not... doesn't bode well in most anime shows when the lead character is a female. Usually it kind of filters out. But, you know, it's actually better than it looks.
Yeah, going back to Ghost in the Shell, I got more of my friends into anime using that than pretty much anything else. That's what turned them onto it.
Yeah, it gets so easy to watch, too. I mean, you gotta think, it's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is a great piece of work. It's one of those shows that have definitely stood the test of time. And like I said, you can hook people who are not anime watchers. Even the dub's not that bad, so it's something that you can get people hooked on without turning them away. It's not like it's a Garzy's Wing dub.
That'll make him into a different kind of fan.
Yeah, that'll make him into, that'll get him in Shinmaru's camp. I know, one of these days I'll have to have him come on and we can discuss all the Terabad and what you should have a whole Terabad show starring Shinmaru. I think that would be a lot of fun. What was the first anime that just made you put your, you know, made you completely facepalm for a half hour? He could probably make a list a mile long. Actually, he has made a list a mile long. If you've ever read his
blog. Couple miles long.
Yeah, you've read his blog. I think he had a 4 or 5
page. Yep, read his blog.
4 or 5 page summary on his top of the top Terabad.
And I actually like about half of those.
Yeah, there's some that are enjoyable, some that are definite. Like, the first time I watched Garzy's Wing, I was with Vuk and somebody else, and oh my gosh. I saw the YouTube version too, which is terrible graphics along with terrible dub. It was something else, that's for sure. But anyway, let's go. What's that?
I got Garzy's Wing up on my computer, and when I saw it, I go like, this is the most confusing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I know we all mock Guilty Crown, but I think Garzy's Wing set the standard for confusion and mockery. Definitely. Alright guys, let's go to a big topic for tonight. So the Noitamina slot, I always pronounce that wrong. I apologize. The animation backwards slot is always that one slot people look to every season to have that, maybe that anime that's just a little bit different, where they try to put the unique spin based on their premise, which is to try to expand the market beyond the, well, for lack of a better word, male otaku. But you have to admit, over the last, like I said, since its inception, it's always kind of up and down. People praise it and then berate it. So do you guys think that it is either it's overrated or that it's underperforming? What I mean by overrated is that based on what the standard they set for themselves, are they actually, I mean, is it too high for what they were doing? Or is it underperforming where the standard's just fine, they're just not producing quality anime to meet that standard? Landon, why don't you start? What do you think?
The standard is fine. The problem is that the anime that they tend to make tends to be the sort of, if this was Hollywood, their average show from that time slot would be your Oscar bait pandering show. And I hate that kind of show.
Give an example, it's like, then. What do you mean by Oscar bait?
Like, I know I'm going to piss off a lot of people by saying this, but I hate The Shawshank Redemption.
Really?
Yeah, I just cannot stand that movie.
The what?
The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that.
Yeah, stuff like that, or pretty much almost any movie that wins Best Picture, that is how I see the Noitami in the time slot. And that is just that's a big turnoff for me. And so it's kind of going for that middle brow, and, you know, I don't really want to get too nasty about it, but it's the kind of thing that I just do not like, where it's trying to be intellectual, but it's plain, it's safe, and it just does not do it for me at all. Every now and then they'll pull off something really awesome, like the first season of Moashimaru was good. Tatami Galaxy is awesome. And then basically almost everything else after that, I mean, Eden of the East was all right, but it just kind of fell apart. But other than that, I just don't really have much love for the time slot. So I would say underperforming, I guess, between the two. It's aiming for something, but it almost always fails.
All right, all right. What about you, Flawfinder? Underperforming or overrated?
Well, sorry. To tell you the truth, I don't really see it as either. I think that on the time slot, I mean, I liked a bunch of shows from there. I'm still trying to catch to watch all of them. I loved Eden of the East. I liked Suritama. I really liked the Kids on the Slope anime. Could not stand Guilty Crown at all. And Tatami Galaxy, I tried to get into, but I hate narration with a passion. To me, the Noitama time slot is good if you want to find some, like, there's always something interesting there, to tell you the truth. I mean, I've never regretted anything I ever watched from that time slot, even Guilty Crown, despite the fact how much I hated it. So, basically, overrated, well, I wouldn't say it's overrated unless it's just like a certain blog phrases it like God or something, but which I don't really see much of, to tell you the truth. And underperforming, I wouldn't say that either, because even when a show sort of like, I don't know, doesn't work for me, it's still like an interesting eye.
I gotcha. For, I guess I'm, for me, I would say that it is, I guess I got to go with underrated. Simply because I think the goal is admirable, but when you try to, I think Guilty Crown was one of those things where it didn't meet the objective, which was to try to get, you know, shows in that don't meet, that aren't part of that usual base. I thought it was a very, you know, terribly done, but your basic shonen show, male hero, has the lovely girl that dies, and you know what I mean? Just that, it was too generic. Terribly done, but still generic. Where, like, I think this season you have the guy that's in love with the shopkeeper, but her dead husband's a ghost. I think that, and then Kids on a Slope, I think those shows are more suited to the objective than, like you said, like a Guilty Crown, where it's not your typical shonen-esque, seinen, whatever you want to call it, type show.
Yeah, I really wanted to like Kids on the Slope because I love the director, what's his face? Watanabe.
Yeah.
And I liked the jazz scenes, but the drama and the romance was just like any other drama and romance that I've seen in any other anime. And it was just like, I just didn't want to watch that, especially when it was overshadowing the parts I did like.
That show was also felt like it's rushed. It could have been a 20, what did they do, 11? It could have been a 22-episode stint and probably been a lot better. They could have explored things a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things. Yeah, I would put it more in the underrated rather than, or not underrated, excuse me, underperforming.
Underperforming.
Underperforming more than the overrated, simply because I don't think they meet their objective on a consistent enough basis. And then occasionally when they do finally get a show that meet that's there to meet the objective, I think the execution at times can be a bit poor.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, there is that 11-episode limit.
And then there's 11 episode limit, where some shows go 12 or 13, they're at 11. And so they, you know, what should be, you know, you get to cram an extra 30 minutes in somewhere. Or remove 30 minutes of stuff. So that can make it very difficult to maybe execute. I don't know. Is there any...
Weren't the last of shows from last season 12 episodes?
Were they?
I thought I saw that someplace, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, they're typically only 11, but... So while we're kind of on the subject, is there a particular studio that everybody hypes up? Do you guys think is overrated, in particular?
KyoAni.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, their actual animation is good. They just have lousy taste in what they pick to actually make.
So give me an example of... I'm not great with associating studios with shows, so an example of a show either this season or last season.
See, I haven't been watching Hyoka or whatever that is, but again, I'm going to piss off people, but I did not like the Haruhi movie.
Okay.
Because it was a straight adaptation of the novel, and what made the TV series version of it good was that they actually played around with how things played out in sequential order. They mixed it up and actually made it to where those last two episodes, it was the endings of two storylines, basically, one after the other. And that had a more of an impact than if they just played it out in, you know, in a linear fashion. And I really wish they would have done that with, was it The Disappearance or whatever? Mm-hmm. Because I read the novel and I didn't like the novel. And then I saw the movie, and I was hoping that they would play around with it, and then they just did an almost page-for-page adaptation. And that was just, that disappointed me.
What about you, Flawfinder? Which show best represents what KyoAni fails at doing? Or is why they frustrate you as an overrated studio?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Despite the fact that I really do like Clannad, I'm not a fan of their other series, particularly Haruhi. I never got them all that much. I wasn't around when the show was airing in that non chronological order. I watched it in chronological order.
Yeah, and it just isn't the same when you watch it in that order, I don't think.
Yeah. I like their shows when I was younger, but when I grew older, besides Clannad, I didn't really when I revisited them, I was like, I'm not really liking this. The Haruhi movie I thought was all right. I mean, the animation wowed me. The story was the same as I read in the novel myself. So okay, I guess that is like the other thing besides Clannad. It sort of holds up, although I don't get into it. People do.
So what about voice actresses then? Do you guys feel? Let's go with a popular voice actress, Hanakana. Overrated?
I couldn't even tell you who that is.
Oh, she's the voice actress behind Oh, gosh, now I can't even think of names. Did you guys watch Aquarian Evol?
Yeah.
I've been meaning to.
So she was the voice actress behind the green-haired girl. Her name just escaped me. Gosh darn it.
The one who voices Zessica.
Zessica, there we go, yes. And she does a bunch. She had like 3 shows last season. I think it was. She was in 3 different shows.
I thought she was fine. I didn't think much of it.
Yeah, out of all the things that, you know, come from this hobby, voice acting is probably the one thing I pay attention to the least.
See, that's,
it's always that guy, that other guy, that girl. That's about as far as I get.
Yeah, I'm pretty terrible. There's one, probably that voice actress and one other, the girl that plays Celtie, and then she's also playing Inaba in Kokoro Connect right now.
Oh, you mean Miyuki Sawashiro?
I think that's her name, yes. Those are about the only 2 voice actresses I recognize. The rest are, well then, and the gal behind Urabe and Mysterious Girlfriend X. Those are about the only 3 I would recognize. Everybody else is like a complete blur to me. Oh, I'll add one more to that. The squeaky, annoying girl from Bodacious Space Pirates. She played the friend that was also the maid. I could recognize that horrible nail-on-chalkboard voice.
Is she the one that was in Sorimachi or whatever that was? The maid cafe one in the small town?
I don't know. She did play the... Maybe. I know she played the maid, the friend that was also in the maid cafe in Bodacious Space Pirates. And, like, her voice was a complete nail on chalkboard. But that's a whole nother... Chiaki, I think, was the gal's name. And the not the actress's name, but the character name in Bodacious Space Pirates.
Was it Kanahanazawa doing one of those moe voice? Because I know she really... I know those grate on my ears a lot.
No, she doesn't typically do the moe voice, the squeaky... At least when she did Zessica, there was no moe voice. Or moe voice.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so... I know she's a big fan favorite, Hanakana is, so... As you can see in the social stream, you don't know who Hanakana is? Close the stream. Yeah, it's definitely... There are people that are diehard fans of her voice, so...
Yeah, that's just not my thing.
I like her when she's not doing the moe voice, like in Dead Man Wonderland, Steins Gate.
All right, so let's go to our first question from our viewers tonight. So what really sells a series for you? Would it be character designs, the voice actors, the story, the studio? Do you have an specific order to that? I'll give you guys a second to think about it. I'll answer and let you guys go there. I think for me, the biggest thing that sells a series would be the story first. Then I think I would go character design, voice actors, and then the studio. Because I think a studio can redeem itself with maybe a good director. Maybe bring in a specific director. Where I think if you have a crappy story, no matter how good the character designs are and the voice actors, I just don't think you can sell it. Flawfinder, what do you think?
For me, story, characters, animation, studio, and all that stuff, those are all contributing factors, but for me, I don't really place one above the other. They all just have to sort of combine together and click and combine together well. Like Guilty Crown, there was like a lot of talent, minus the writer, because I hate that guy. But the combination did not work well in that series' favor at all.
Gotcha. Landon, what about you?
Yeah, the only thing I really keep an eye out on is, yeah, that initial, like, little plot summary or concept when it comes, like, looking for a new series to watch. That's pretty much the main thing I look at. Is it about something I want to see happen? Like, yeah, I mean, there's directors that I like. I mean, I can't think of his name. The one that did Tatami Galaxy, Mind Game, and all that. He's one of those guys that, yeah, if I see he's making a new show, I'll go watch it, regardless of what it's about. But otherwise,
I think it's
just
Yuasa.
It's just, is it about something I want to watch, yes or no? If it is, I'll go watch it. If not, somebody's going to have to say something else. Like, I'm going to have to listen to people's opinions. I like character designs. I don't really care too much about that so long as they're just not horrible. Voice acting, yeah, like I said, I don't care about that. Studios, I mean, I'm always kind of looking out for what Madhouse is doing just because they tend to do stuff I like. But other than that, I don't really care.
I gotcha. We got another question come up from Processor. What anime, either genre, character style, whatever, is your guilty pleasure? A show you know is bad, like, you probably wouldn't normally, you probably, by most people's standards, is a bad show, but you can't help to just like it.
I have no shame, so I don't feel any guilt for anything that I like. I don't even really believe in the concept of guilty pleasure. If I like it, I like it, I'm proud of it.
All right.
I think that comes more out of what other people think about it. If you hear a bunch of other people saying it sucks and you like it, then you say, oh, it's just a guilty pleasure. Nah, I don't buy that.
All right, Flawfinder, what about you?
I don't have any shows that are like a real guilty pleasure, but I sometimes do feel guilty for really liking Clannad because I bash a lot of dramas when it does better, when it doesn't have as many problems as that show.
Yeah.
But
keep going, sorry.
But yeah, unfortunately, nostalgia and the fact that I'm a sucker for Yuichi Nakamura's voice and the character of Tomoya just keeps me into that.
I think I gotta go with I think I like the bland male character with the female harem, but it's something like Infinite Stratos where there's some techie there, some combat kind of mixed in. I think that combination of things is definitely something that I would say is my guilty pleasure. Because I'll use Infinite Stratos as an example since I've said it. You know, the whole combat thing where you're wearing. Do you guys ever see Exo Squad?
Yep.
Oh wait.
Exo Squad?
Yeah, it's where everybody's wearing those suits and they're fighting the Martians, the genetically engineered Martians. No, in their own suits. Anyways, it's a cool anime. It's a cool American cartoon. If you guys and our audience haven't seen the Exo Squad, a lot of fun to watch. But anyways, I just like that whole thing. You can put on a power suit. You've got combat. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like half mecha, half not. Kind of fun. Then you throw in the whole, you know, main character that's completely dense, that the five girls are all falling for him. So it can be fun to watch. But I think I would consider that more my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, with Infinite Stratos, it almost became my deep pleasure because I liked it a little more than a bunch of other people did. But at the end, it was like, I don't hate it, but it wasn't like really great.
Gotcha. So last question, guys, and then we'll close up for the night. We've kind of hit on this a little bit, but what is the worst anime you've ever watched?
Animal Tales.
Why Animal Tales?
It's basically it's a typical harem show, but it's about a guy whose dead pets come back to life and turn into cute girls and become his harem.
Oh my god.
So basically, it's about this guy who abused his pets and he gets rewarded for it.
Because
all the animals have this tragic story about basically how he neglected them in some way and they died, they got ran over, they starved. And they try to make it all cute and sad and tragic, but no, the guy's just an animal abuser. And so, yeah, that just disgusted me.
Is it worse than Green Green?
I've never even bothered with that one.
I don't. It's awful.
But just on a purely conceptual level, this thing is just abhorrent.
What about you, Flawfinder? Worst thing you've ever seen?
For me, the worst anime I've ever seen, it would have the one that is like a normal series. It would have to be Hanbu no Suki ga no Boru Sora. I absolutely hated that series with a passion. It's this hospital drama where two kids fall to hospital, patients fall in love, and I go, like, it's sort of cute. I guess the girl's a little selfish because she's dying. But then it gets really cool with its drama. Like, the girl locking the guy up on the roof to freeze. Well, he's also because he got caught with porn, or the doctor beating the sick boy up. And it was like, what the heck? I mean, this is beyond the bad melodramas, like where they try to wring out tears. This is straight up abuse as drama.
Oh, jeez. I'm trying to think what I can consider the worst show I've ever seen. Garzy's Wing is definitely up there. Oh man, what else? I'm having trouble coming. I don't watch a lot of Terror Bad, or a lot of shows that are just bad. Guilty Crown was definitely, but Guilty Crown was to the point where it was funny. I guess it wasn't terrible. When you look at it as a comedy, it wasn't that bad. Man, what show was just terrible?
Yeah, I only laughed twice at that show.
I laughed at it because it was sheer stupidity. But I think Garzy's Wing is definitely up there with the shows that are just, that I've seen, of just being absolutely terrible. Of shows that I finished, how about that?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
There are some shows I've watched one episode or so and said, I can't do this. I'm done. I can never finish it. Not because it was terrible, but it just wasn't one I could watch. But anyways, guys, that sums things up for tonight. We've kind of answered some questions from our viewers. And moving on, do you guys have any final thoughts for the night? Anything you want to come back and say before we close up? Landon, why don't you start?
Come back to me.
All right. Flawfinder, any final thoughts for the night?
For final words, I say I was glad to be on the show, and this is my first talk show I've ever been on, and I hope to one day come back and talk some more about anime.
Definitely.
I have to tell everybody, do not believe the vile dinosaur propaganda that's anti-Polar Bear Cafe. They're just trying to put down the mammals. In reference to Botaraptor's recent post.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming on again tonight. I appreciate Landon for your second time on, and Flawfinder for your first. I appreciate it. Anyways, you can find this show and others at my site at joeanimated.wordpress.com. Also, there's a podcast feed. If you go to the right-hand side of the page, you can click on it, add it to your favorite podcast app or iTunes. And if you're interested in being on the show with me, like my guests have been tonight, you can find me or send me an email at joeanimated@gmail.com or make a comment at the website. Next week, I will not be on live. I will be on vacation. But we will return in 2 weeks with new guests. So if you're interested, please send me an email. Once again, thank you to Landon and Flawfinder. And we will see everybody in 2 weeks. Thanks again.